to preach to you this morning about something that I have never preached on, not in England or here, anywhere, Ockley or anywhere else. Now, we have referred to it, but I have never before preached on chastisement. And I've been reading about chastisement, and many of the commentators would agree that many believers are afraid to read about chastisement. Sometimes that is because they don't understand it, and other times they are afraid of becoming uncomfortable or anxious as they read about the chastening of the Lord. And I have never preached on it, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, why should I make anything else? That I haven't preached on it because in some degree I've been afraid. Afraid of what I have studied it, and I know what I've discovered, and afraid of how I might feel, or it might make me feel uncomfortable, it might make me feel anxious. Therefore, I have never actually preached on it as a subject up until this morning. Now, every born-again Christian is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever his disciples were walking with him, they were called disciples. And the disciple, it simply means a disciplined one. One who is disciplined. And that is what their experience was. And whenever the Lord Jesus was walking with his disciples, one man said to me one time, he said, "Oh, what are you going to Bible college for? The disciples didn't go." I said, "They did." He said, "No, they didn't." I said, "They walked beside the Lord for 3 years. That was the best Bible college of all that they could have went to whenever he was here on earth." And the disciples, they were given instruction and they were given encouragement, of course. And as he discipled them, he gave them a lot of information on what they needed to hear. But part of that discipleship or disciplining of the disciples was chastisement. It was chastisement. And I feel that it's not something we can run away from. It's not a message of discouragement, but rather, I think if we view it right, it is a message of encouragement. And I'm sure you've thought about it. And in all the various circumstances of life, you have felt, well, a wonder is this because of the fact that I've been doing something wrong? Or is this the chastening hand of the Lord for a reason maybe that I don't know about? Is it the Lord working in me? Well, if you're a Christian, you can be sure he wants to work with you. And I'm going to speak this morning for the remainder of the time in coming to terms with chastening. Coming to terms with chastening, because really that is what we are doing today as we look at this chastening. I want you to notice some things, and we trust that what we say will help you. Some of your circumstances I'm aware of. There are other circumstances that are not easily shared. You know about them, and you can rest assured the Lord knows, and that's the important thing. He knows about them. But I trust that what I say will help you today as we look at coming to terms with chastening. I want you to notice, first of all, there are the recipients of chastening. If you look in this chapter that we read there, and it says in verse 8, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers," whereof all are partakers. You could underline that word "all" if you are a believer today. Now, this first point is quite brief. It's really an introduction, but you could underline that word "all" if you are a Christian, and you can say that this includes me. I'm a partaker. And I'm a partaker of chastisement. A partaker of chastisement. And that is the lot of every Christian. We are all partakers. Now, I want to say today that if you're not converted, the Lord can bring conviction to your heart. And God is gracious and good and loving. And sometimes when unsafe people are in dire straits, he helps them. Because he is a God of love. But you can't know this chastening if you're not a Christian, because in my family, if I'm to chasten my son, then he has to be my son. And if it's someone else's daughter or son, well, they're not mine. I'm not saying that you couldn't chasten them in the appropriate circumstances, but the fact is that if you're in the family of God, the Lord will chasten you. And we can't get away from that. The Lord will chasten you, and please don't be alarmed about that. He will chasten you. You think of a school classroom, and you think of everyone in that school. If I can take you way back to days in Killigamine, and there were people there in that classroom who, they were possibly Christians. Some of them were, but some of them were very well behaved, and they didn't really need to be taken aside in front of everyone and spoken to by way of warning because of the way that they lived. But some of us weren't like that. And we sometimes, not very, maybe apologizing for myself now, we cause problems sometimes with the teachers. And I can remember thinking, and one teacher in particular, I remember thinking he grabbed me one time by the neck and got me up against the board in front of everyone. And then he realized he'd made a mistake. And I remember looking at him and thinking, if I was older and bigger, I wouldn't let you off with that. I wouldn't let you off with that. And I remember thinking about that man, you don't care about me. You don't care about me. But you know, the teacher's responsibility is, in that class, for those who do not need to be spoken to or in a particular way, and those who are obviously out of line a bit, every one of the people in that class has to be disciplined. There has to be discipline. When the teacher's speaking, no one else is to be talking. In fact, we have to be listening. And any class that you went into in Killigamine, that was the case. And I'm sure it still is in classes today. And when you're in the family of God, there has to be discipline. Sometimes the Lord chastens his people and we don't really understand what's going on. Other times, if we've fallen into sin and we've been indulging perhaps in something that we shouldn't have been doing, whatever it is, for our good, he chastens us. And he chastens us, number one, because we are in his family. We're in his family. I've already mentioned that there in verse 8. It is part and parcel of sonship. But also because he cares for us. Over there in verse 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Overall, I know there are exceptions, but overall, parents love their children. And you will want them to do the right thing because you care for them. And what I'm trying to get across here is the point that every single Christian will know something of this chastening. If you're in that family of God, I was thinking last night of a situation with a fella I used to run about with a bit when I was younger. I was probably about 13, maybe 14 at the time. And we'd done something which I can't remember what it was, but it was to do with apples in the orchard. And I know where I can't remember so long ago where we'd knocked over boxes of apples, whatever it was. But we were up in the byre, and you know what that is. And we were there with the cows, and his father came in with this big, really bendy stick. And the boy tried to make a run for it, but his father caught him across the back of the shoulders really, really hard. I stood there shaking, thinking, oh no, I'm next. But he didn't even look at me, because I wasn't his son. He wanted to discipline his son, but I knew that I had done wrong, but he disciplined his son. He didn't discipline him because he hated him, but he disciplined him because he loved him. And he chastised him because he loved him. So when you think here of the recipients of this chastisement, it is all our protectors, all Christians, all believers. But I want you to, correction can come, and chastisement can come in a whole lot of ways. It can come through infirmity of the body. It can come through situations in employment. It can come through situations with our own particular social circle. It can come in a whole lot of ways, but suffice to say that the Lord will chasten all his people. He will chasten all his people. But there's not only the recipients of it who are all of those who are Christians, but secondly, I want you to notice then the reaction to it. And this is vitally important. What do we do when when the Lord chastens us? Well, it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Or to despise not the chastening of the Lord. If you look there in verse 5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And if you look here we're looking at the reaction now. Do you see where it says there in verse 5? You'll see the word despise. Well, that word really means don't collapse. Don't collapse. That's what it means. If I can use an illustration, there was a certain school team playing rugby yesterday and they met their match. They went to play another team. And there was one young lad in that team who was over 6 foot, and some of the fellas were afraid to tackle him. And therefore, they won. The other team won, and he scored, and those who tackled him, well, he just dragged them along with him. They'd met their match. And the ones who wouldn't tackle them, what happened? Did they collapse inside and think, oh no, I'm only half the size of him? Can't do that. And the Lord is saying here to us, regarding the chastening, don't collapse. The same word is used over there, if you look at Mark's gospel, please. Mark chapter 8. And verse 3. You know the story here. When there's been a great multitude there gathering around, and verse 1 tells us, of nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples and said unto him, and calleth his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And you can understand just how weak they're beginning to feel. And it says in verse 3, and if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, or they will collapse. By the way, you can imagine people who hadn't been eating for 3 days, physically they'd be very weak and they would collapse. Well, that is the meaning here. Whenever you and I are chastened, we're not to collapse. And that's what we could easily do. Just think, no, why is the Lord punishing me, or what is happening here? And collapse. And that can bring all kinds of problems for us. But if we look also there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says there in verse 16, speaking here about the apostle's been speaking about his service, and in verse 8, you can see just how under pressure he was. The word troubled there, meaning to be literally to be squeezed in their corner. And if I can just mention the word despair there, meaning to be in a position where there doesn't seem to be any way forward whatsoever. And you can be there sometimes. And that's where they were. But if you look at verse 16, they're speaking about the same cause that they're involved in. He says, for which cause we faint not. And on this occasion, the word faint there, from the same root, it literally means cave in. So with all of this that you read about there, troubled on every side, distressed, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, with all of these things that are happening around us, we didn't cave in. We didn't cave in. This is not bravo language. This was a mere man who had to know the help of the Lord in this situation, just as you and I do. And he was saying here, we didn't cave in. We read the other one in the text and over in Mark, which means to do not collapse. Do not collapse. I was reading a story one time of a missionary very long ago who had been serving the Lord the very best they could, but they became sick and very, very weak at one stage, and they went through that prolonged time of weakness, And they said that during the time of weakness, they couldn't work, they couldn't witness, and it got to the point they were so weak, they couldn't even hold their Bible to read it. Couldn't even hold their Bible to read it. And they said this, they said, all I can do was lie still in God's arms like a little child. Lie still in God's arms like a little child and trust him. And trust him. And folks, that's what the Apostle Paul did. And that's what you and I do when this chastening comes, from whatever area it comes. You think of some of the godliest people that you read of there in the Bible and the awful opposition they had and the torment they had to endure. Speaking to people yesterday, and they were just mentioning to me some of the things that over the years God's church has had to endure by way of persecution. Maybe some of you noticed this just the other day. It was yesterday. There's a man in terrorists, Boko Haram was it, had got him, and he was on, they had filmed him, and they put a clip of him on that he was being faithful to the Lord just hours before they executed him. A good man, a godly man there for the benefit of all who would come and listen to the word, and yet the best that they could do was put him to death. And that's a very difficult situation for his wife and for his family. And sometimes we feel so weak that all we can do is lie like a little child in a mother's arms, lie in God's arms and trust him. And trust him. Now, you may think, well, I'm not too sure, Reverend Salt, that I could do that. Well, maybe right now you don't have to. You don't have to do it right now. And when the time comes when you have to do it, then, brothers and sisters, the Lord will give you grace to do it. He'll give you grace to do it. There in verse 3 of chapter 12 where we read in Hebrews, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And as I've mentioned, that word faint before, it literally means to lose ground, to let out rope, to lose ground. But consider him, meaning to prepare things in their due proportion. Now, this is the secret. This is a secret when it comes to the reaction to chastisement. If a son or daughter are not doing what they should be doing, and then the father or mother comes along and they chastise them, they're going to have to react to that chastisement in one way or another, and it's the same with us. And we're looking here at reaction to this chastisement. We see where it says there, consider him. The word consider him there, consider, it signifies to review something. And if you look up on your computer and you want to review a particular cafe or a particular hotel, you look at all these customer reviews and you'll see the reviews. And it's saying here, review him. And when you look at him and his word, you see how much he suffered for us and all that he's done for you and for me. But this word that's translated here, consider, which means to review, there's two other places where I want to mention it to you. In 1 Corinthians 13, just back a few pages, and verse 5. So this is in the context of Christian love and genuine Christian care. And by the way, other people have noticed how much you talk to each other here in the meetings. And they've heard, and I mean it, they have heard that when anyone is ill in church, everyone's on board. And again, that's priceless. That's priceless. I know I'm from a big church in Dungannon, and if someone was sick, sometimes there's been occasion to say, you know that man that sits over at the far side there? He comes in with his wife and he's got two wee girls with him. You know him, comes in there, said, he's not well and don't know his name. And you know something, sometimes forget about him. But one of the blessings, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a large, large congregation, nothing at all, but the unique blessing of a smaller church, everybody knows. Everybody knows when you're sick, and in this congregation, everybody's on board, praying for you, caring for you, thinking about you every day. And this whole chapter 13, you'll see in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, And three times in verse 4 and also down in verse 8, the word charity, verse 13, the word charity again referring to genuine care and Christian love. But if you look with me, please, the verse I want you to notice is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is speaking about this genuine Christian love. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Now, the thought here is of thinking soberly. Thinking soberly. And that is what we need to do. That is part of the meaning of where we read there to consider him, to think soberly. You might think, well, oh, I'm being chastised at the moment in one way or another. Remember Christ and what he has done. And if you've been here during the week, you've heard it every night, that the answer to all of these things is to look to him, our great high priest. But this is saying, remember him. Review him. Remember what he has done. Over in Mark 11 and 31, I think it is. I'll just take a look there. Mark's Gospel anyway. Mark 11. Yes, it says in verse 31, and they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? Speaking here of John the Baptist. And he's tripping up, of course, those who were the chief priests and the elders. They were his chief critics many times. And he's tripping them up. And it says, they reasoned with themselves. And actually, on this occasion, the word reason there means sober reasoning. Sober reasoning. And I think that's what the word here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, the Holy Spirit goes to great length to show us, reason soberly. Don't just run away, please. Don't think, well, nobody cares. Don't think, well, God doesn't care. Don't think, oh, they've forgotten about me. They don't pray for me. And it says here to consider him, to reason soberly. And that really is part of what will greatly help us in our reaction to chastisement. You see, if I chastise my son, is he going to resent me, or is he going to take a step back and say, well, this has helped me. This has helped me. And we'll look at that in a minute or two. But there's something else. If you look there in verse 11, the Lord knows that we're not naturally, we're not supermen. It says in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And I'll just mention to you what it says there. The word grievous there is a word which it literally means cause grief. And you know what it is if you're caused grief. Supposing something happens to someone close to you and it causes grief. And the thought here is a very strong word. It's not just a sort of feel sorry for me, but it's a great grief. A great grief. So this chastening it's not a light thing. It's not a light thing. You'll see there in verse 5, it talks about being rebuked. And I'm not going to spend all day on these thoughts, but you see it rebuked there in verse 5. Can we look at that, please? It says there, and yes, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, collapse, or cave in, when thou art rebuked of him. Well, the word rebuked there means, it doesn't mean the Lord comes along and says, Karen, don't you do that now. Well, he does do that sometimes. But the word here means convinced or convicted. Convinced or convicted. When the Lord comes along and maybe there's something in our lives and the Lord convinces us, well, that needs to go. Or he convicts us, well, I shouldn't really be doing that, Christian. And that's what the word rebuke means. There's also the word there in verse 6, scourgeth, which means to flog. As I said, you know, if you look at the history of flogging, even birching in the Isle of Man there, and certainly those who were the recipients of the birching or the flogging, they learned. They learned from their flogging. So this is quite a severe thing. And you'll see the word corrected used in verse 9. It is a word which you'll find a similar word in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, that God's word is profitable for correction. Now, it's profitable for doctrine and for proof, but it's profitable for correction. That means when you read the Bible and God the Holy Spirit speaks to you and he convinces you and he convicts you and you're going through a time of chastening and he may show us how to change and what we need to look at. And this is something that we could run away from and be afraid to look at it, but that's what it is. And it's not a light thing. I can't say that to you. It's not a light thing. The word scourgeth, again, is a very strong word. And the correction literally means a setting aright. A setting aright. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves today, yes, we're the recipients of chastisement. Maybe you feel you're not just at the moment. Sometimes we will be. Sometimes in a little way and sometimes in a bigger way. But what is our reaction to it? The Lord goes to great length here in this chapter to show us not to despise the chastening of the Lord, not to collapse, and to show us it is because he loves us. It's because he loves us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But there's one other thing, not just the reaction here and the recipients. There is the reward. The reward. And I know some people struggle. And it's a natural thing to struggle, folks. We're not being critical of you at all in any way. We all can struggle sometimes. But you might think, well, what's the point? I could just have listened to a sermon and that sermon might have helped me and then I wouldn't have had to be chastened. Well, you can see there that it says, if you look over in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, please remember that if you've been chastened now, there is an afterward. Whatever your trial is, if it doesn't completely end, the Lord can alleviate the pressure. It says, afterward, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Them which are exercised thereby. Therefore, brethren and sisters, you and I can look upon this and chastening and say it is definitely for our gain. It is definitely for our gain. Over in Romans chapter 8. There's quite a few references, I know that, but it's just a very important subject, I think. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says there, Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, that's a reward. That's a reward. To be conformed to the image of his son. And again, I'll just read what it says in 2 Corinthians 3. You can take more time at home if you want. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. It says there, now in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. That's God's work of sanctification in us. And very often, chastening brings about that change. We're conformed more and more. Sometimes the Lord has to come along, even to a person who seems to be doing very well in their work or their business, and has to wean them away from the world. There's nothing wrong with doing well in your business or your job, but I can think of countless situations tonight where this business or job has become king of the life and demanding all the attention and the affection and the energy and the love. And the Lord is to come along and to wean us away from that. And it says, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's progress there that is so important. And very often when we're chastened, isn't it then that we have a look and maybe we get down before the Lord and think, Lord, I want to go on and go through with God and want to be the best that I can be for thee. How many people have stood here in the pulpit and testified of time that was lost until the Lord came along and he chastised them and he had to wean them away from the things of the world. So chastening, it says, are the peaceable fruits of righteousness. I'm just going to read to you very quickly what it says in John 15, and that's a very important chapter to tie in, where the Lord is saying here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, he's speaking here about every branch in me, right? This is Christians. So they're in him eternally in union with him. And do you remember what was said about the schoolroom? That everyone in the schoolroom had to be disciplined. Some didn't cause any problems, but they had to be disciplined people. And other ones, they had to be disciplined too, because maybe we did something that wasn't right in that. Well, you will see there, if you look, it says, do you see where it says, that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And sometimes very, very bright Christians seem to get very heavy chastisement. Very bright. And you get to get heavy chastisement that they'll bring forth more fruit. That is the peaceable fruit of righteousness that we were reading about over in Hebrews. But also look there in what it says. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, people will say, oh, there you are. They're saved and lost. No, it's not. Where it says taketh away, the word taketh there, it literally means lift it up. Lift it up. If you come to your vine and one of the branches is lying down in the dirt and you think, well, it's a perfectly good branch, but it's not bearing any fruit because it's in the dirt. Maybe if I prop it up a little bit and lift it out of the dirt, it'll bring forth fruit. And what a lesson there is. The Lord comes along and he purges us when we seem to be think we are doing our best, but if we've fallen down a little bit, he lifts us up. He lifts us up, and sometimes he does that through chastisement. And really, brethren and sisters, the righteousness referred to here also means being in that right place with God every day. In that right place with God every day. So this chastisement, what does it do overall? It brings us into a closer walk with God. It brings us into a closer walk with God. I must finish off by saying there, if I can turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, and you'll see what it says there. At the end of verse 11, it says, the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Therefore, our reaction needs to be right. Our reaction needs to be right. Not indulging ourselves and submerging ourselves more in the world. Think, well, there's no point in that. But rather, being exercised or right. Tie that in with what it says at the end of verse 11. Being in subjection unto the Father of spirits. And folks, that is where we want to be. That is where we want to be. And I know that some of you, right now, there's what may be chastisement, maybe for me, the days to come, chastisement for us. And again, it's something we don't like to think about because maybe, like me, you're a little bit afraid of it and how it may feel, make you feel uncomfortable and make you feel anxious. Well, I trust that what I've said today will make you feel that you're in God's hands, that you're in God's hands. You're like that missionary who felt so weak that they couldn't even read their Bible. All they could do was rest upon the Lord's everlasting arms and trusting him. So this is, as far as I'm concerned anyway, coming to terms with chastening. I trust the Lord will, in his own way, lead us all on with himself and